It is good to see everyone back this afternoon. In danger of sounding too bold, I believe the congregation is actually in for a little bit of a treat this afternoon. Not because of the speaker, by any means, but I believe for the lesson that is going to be presented to us today. A few weeks ago, started just kind of contemplating about this past year, the past couple of years, and how it seems that a lot of people that were once here, that we once spoke with on a regular basis, are no longer here with us. And it just seems that as the years go by, it seems that more and more of that seems to happen, and we say goodbye to friends that we've known for a long time, just seems like this past year has just been a little bit more in the forefront of my mind, as well as maybe some of your others. And I believe, we've lost a lot of great individuals in the church, and we've lost a lot of great preachers, and one of them being Brother Ronnie Wade. And I was thinking of a lesson that he had given a while back. He actually presented it to the congregation, and he also presented it in one of the Let the Bible Speak, Let the Bible Speak lessons. And I remember whenever he gave it, gave the lesson at the congregation when I was quite a bit younger, it stuck with me because he kind of took a common phrase or an idea that society has and kind of flipped it on its end, on its head. And it just kind of stuck with me because it was kind of a strange, gave me a very different perception of the topic. The title of that, he gave that lesson, and the title he gave it in the Let the Bible Speak series was Climbing to Hell. And I remember that lesson, and at first I couldn't really remember the title, but I was able, Dad has all of the series printed out, and I was looking through it, trying to find it, and I finally found it. And so I thought it would be okay to put my thoughts aside for an afternoon up in the pulpit and just possibly recall, reread, or recite a lesson that I think is very good, very beneficial to us. And I think in another way, it's also a way to remember and to recall to memory one of the greatest preachers that we had in the ministry and in the church, Brother Ronnie Wade. But his lesson begins, he states, "Millions of books have been written, but none are more important or needful than the Bible." Today we are studying, in his lesson in his series, he says, today we will be studying a subject that we call Climbing to Hell. That may sound rather odd, since we usually think of people traveling downward in their journey to hell. How then could one climb to hell? We believe that God does not want to see a single person lost. It is His will that everyone take advantage of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and be saved. He is a great, loving, heavenly Father, and He has prepared a wonderful heaven for all who are obedient to His word. Today, He knocks on the heart of every sinner seeking entrance into their lives. It is very foolish for anyone to reject Christ and pay the penalty of sin and everlasting death. There is every reason in the world that you should be a Christian. Look around you and see that this world cannot permanently satisfy you. There is nothing good and lasting about it. But it seems that some people are determined to go to hell. For example, here is a man with a business. A problem arises, which means very little in terms of dollars and cents. Yet he is willing to sit down and think the whole thing out in a logical way in order to avoid problems. However, that same man passes Christ by, never pondering the question, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lost his own soul?" Mark 8, verse 36. Another man may be wonderful in his home. If a matter comes up that affects the happiness of his family, he is willing to sit down and talk the matter through in order to protect that happiness. Yet at the same time, this man who is so fine in his earthly family gives no thought to the home beyond the sky. Some people are so determined to go to hell that they will climb over mountains in order to get there. Going to hell is not an easy thing. God has put things in the pathway of the sinner to keep him from being lost. God has erected mountains over which the sinner must climb before he can go to hell. He later goes on to say that we want to begin by considering the mountain of the church. A man must climb over every faithful congregation of the Lord's church in order to go to hell. Why do we seek to establish congregations throughout the world? So that men can go and hear the gospel and find their way to Christ. We are putting an obstacle in their path. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47 says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Acts 8 and 4. Therefore those who were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I wouldn't want to be lost regardless of where I lived. But I would especially be fearful of being lost in America, since there are so many congregations here that are sounding out the word of God. Luke 12:48. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Of the church of Thessalonica, Paul said, For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. 1 Thessalonians 1:8. Of the individual Christians, members of the church, Jesus said, Ye are the light of the world and a city set on a hill. If you die lost, out of Christ, and go down to hell, you can look back and say, I climbed over every New Testament church I ever saw in order to get there. People who neglect the church or who refuse to become a part of it make a great mistake. They turn their back on the one blood-bought institution that can help them make it into heaven. But another mountain that people must climb over is the mountain of gospel sermons. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, Go teach all nations. And again in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16, it says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. John chapter 6, verse 45, It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. One cannot go to hell without climbing over the gospel sermons they have heard. Jesus preached some of the greatest sermons ever heard. Paul and Peter did as well. Yet men rejected the truth presented to them by these great teachers. Some say, if I could hear Jesus, I would believe. Yet these people heard, and they did not believe. Think of all those who could have come to the truth as a result of these great sermons, but refused to. And they refused to think and refused to do so. They, like the rich man in Luke chapter 6, are crying for relief. The very relief they turned down in life. There was a theme running through these great sermons. To repent and turn to God. The Ethiopian read the word of God and wanted to know more. Philip preached unto him, Jesus, and as a result, he wanted to obey. Gospel sermons like that have caused many to turn to the Lord in obedience to the truth. But if you turn such preaching down, you will someday look back and say, I climbed over every one of those good sermons I heard in order to get here. And then, of course, there is the mountain of God's book. Every copy of God's word is a roadblock between your soul and hell. One cannot go to hell without climbing over its truth. Years ago, two prominent men decided that they would write a book against the Bible, maintaining that it was an untrustworthy guide for the souls of men. They separated for some time in order to make their study of the subject. Their plans were to come together at a later date and collaborate in writing their book. At the agreed-upon time they met, one man said, I'm sorry that I made that bargain with you. When I began my study of the Bible, I saw that I was wrong and was converted to Christ by its message. The other man said, I too have found the Bible to be true, and I also am living by it. One can read the Bible in a critical way, seeking to find in it some mistake or contradiction, and he will get no blessing from it. Or one can read with an earnest heart and be blessed by its message. How can a young man How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Psalm 119:9, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Also verse 11, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Verse 24, I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. Verse 59, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And verse 130, to be lost, it gives understanding to the simple. So to be lost, we must climb over the history of the Bible. Skeptics once claimed that no such nation as the Hittites ever existed, since they were mentioned only in the Bible. Records of Egypt and Assyria have now been found that show the Hittites for nearly seven centuries occupied northern Syria and southern Asia Minor. The scientific foreknowledge in the Bible as well is something that we have to climb over. The rotundity of the earth, Isaiah 40:22, says it is God that sitteth on the circle of the earth. The empty space in the north, Job 26:7, says he stretcheth out the north over empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Also the accurate prophecies of the Bible. The prophecy concerning the Jews in Deuteronomy 28, God would bring a nation against them as swift as an eagle, with a fierce countenance, caring for neither young nor old, and speaking a language foreign to the Jews. The walls of Jerusalem would come down, people would suffer untold horrors, they would devour human flesh, etc. This was fulfilled in AD 70, when Roman armies marched against Jerusalem. The messianic prophecies, the place of his birth, in Micah 5:2, Matthew 2:1. Jesus was to confirm his message by miracles, Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6. He was to be rejected by his brethren and hated by the Jews, Psalm 69 and 8 and John 1 and 11. He was to be forsaken by his disciples, mentioned in Matthew 26 and 31, and sold for 30 pieces of silver, Matthew 26 and 15. If you live and die and go to hell, you can look back and say, I climbed over every Bible I ever saw in order to get here. Also, there is the mountain of conscience. People who have been told the truth develop a conscience that either approves or condemns their actions. Paul said, I have lived in all good conscience to this day, in Acts chapter 23 and 1. It says, this being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men, Acts 24 and 16. And 1 Timothy 4:2 says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. There are people today whose conscience bothers them every time they turn down the gospel invitation. Others feel guilt known to those who ignore their conscience to continue living in sin. Those who continue to so live will look back someday and remember that they climbed over their conscience, ignored it, and allowed it to become seared in order to get to hell. But next, there is the mountain of better judgment. Every man's better judgment tells him that he ought to be a Christian, that he ought to treat his neighbor better, that he ought to go to church and read the Bible, that he ought to be a better husband or father, to be a better wife or mother. That person knows that someday they must face God in judgment. In the depths of their heart, they know it is safe and sane and a sane thing to do. One day, a preacher who was trying to win a man to the Lord went to his office and asked him, if you could buy this corner lot today for $500 and sell it for $5,000 tomorrow, what would you do? What is there in you that tells you that this would be a good deal? The man replied, my better judgment. It tells me to give up the small thing in order to gain the big thing. By the same token, one should give up the things of this world in order to gain everlasting life. Mark 8:36, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Every sinner will someday say, I did not have to come here. I climbed over my better judgment in order to get here. And then there is the mountain of godly parents and a Christian home. A boy was leaving his country home to live in a sinful city. His mother said, "Son, you're going to live in a very wicked place. I want you to know that every night at 9, I will be praying for you." The boy left and soon drifted into a sinful lifestyle with his friends. One night he swung down a street and into a nightclub with some friends. They all ordered drinks, and as the bartender pushed the drinks across the counter, the clock on the wall chimed 9 times. The boy pushed the drink back and started for the door. When one of his friends asked why he was leaving, he simply replied, "Mother." 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also." Timothy would have had to climb over his mother and grandmother in order to reject the faith in which he stood. Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of the king's daughter. His mother had been his nursemaid. Her instruction, no doubt, caused him to reject the honor of being the son of a very rich woman. Moses would have had to climb over his mother in order to reject his heritage. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Forsake not the law of thy mother." In Luke 15, we have a story of a young boy who left home, but was ultimately unable to get away from the memory of that home and his father. How many people have climbed over godly mothers and fathers and their tears and prayers on their journey to a devil's hell? Some today remember the instruction you received in your youth, instructions you have neglected and left. You are now headed on the downward road, a road that leads to eternal destruction. Finally, this afternoon, there is the mountain of Calvary. The last mountain over which you have to climb in order to get to hell is the mountain of Calvary, upon which is the crucified Christ. Christ stands between everyone and the yawning pit of hell. In order to get there, one must reject Christ, say no to all of his entreaties. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Revelations 3 and 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1 and 18, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Unfortunately, men and women often say, "I don't care. I'm going to live for this life and this life only." So they give all their time, thought, and attention to this world and leave out all thought for the world which is to come. This is a spiritual suicide and folly at its worst. Men and women rush headlong into eternity unprepared. And yet all the while God has done and is doing everything necessary to save men and women and bring them home to glory. If a man is lost in hell, he must first climb over the mountain of the church, then over the mountain of gospel sermons, then the mountain of God's great book, the Bible, then the mountain of his own conscience and better judgment. They overlook, reject, and climb over the mountain of godly parents and Christian home, and finally, they come to Calvary. Here they see the Son of God dying for them. Caring not, they climb over Jesus Christ and goes down to an everlasting death. No one should die like this. All should take advantage of the Calvary and the blood of the crucified Christ. Now, this was a lesson that Ronnie Wade wrote so long ago. And just like many of the other lessons that we hear from a pulpit, it still rings true today. This was a lesson that I remember him giving a long time ago, but it left an impact on me. And it was just another way, of changing a perspective and got us thinking. And so I just wanted to take the time to share it. Once again, I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing light some lessons that we've heard in the past that may help us with our future in our Christian walk. But at this time, we do want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church. Whatever the case may be, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.